Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 13th, 2013, episode... Stop it. Listen to this. It's March 13th, 2013, episode 613. Dun-dun-dun. Good morning, Horse World.
That's morning. Crazy. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to hump day. It is Wednesday, and yesterday, Jamie, I posted something on our Facebook page, and I wanted to know if you had a chance to try it yet. Jennifer found this thing where you determine what Muppet you are. It's a Muppet personality test. You answer some questions, about 10 questions, and it tells you which Muppet you are. Now, according to the list here, by the way, I was Kermit, and Jennifer was Beaker, appropriately enough, because her horse is named after Beaker, the Muppet. So, but then our listeners all seem to be Gonzo. Like, most of them were Gonzo, which Gonzo's one of my favorite characters, so that's okay. But I was just shocked how many Gonzos there are in the world. Now, did you get a chance to take it?
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. So you're taking a Muppet personality test, and this is to tell you which Muppet you are. And these are questions like, do you have, let's see here, go back to it. Are you musically gifted? Are you a natural leader? Do you have an aptitude for science? Are you good at telling jokes? Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. And Glenn, this is, I didn't know you were such a Muppet fan.
Oh, I love the Muppets. So I have fond memories of watching the Muppet TV show back when it was on originally with my dad. My dad watched very little TV, but we would all sit, all of us brothers and my dad would sit and watch the Muppet TV show and just laugh and laugh. It's one of my favorite memories, actually.
Love How old were you when you watched the Muppet show?
Probably, it was on, I was probably elementary to junior high, somewhere in there.
Okay, okay. Maybe I watched reruns.
You did.
I remember watching it, too. So I actually took the test, and I was Animal.
See, now I would have guessed, you know, thinking you can sing and big personality and a bit of a diva, I would have guessed Miss Piggy.
How dare you? I think.
Does anybody want to be Miss Piggy?
No, because I think question number three ruled me out of Miss Piggy. And number three is, are you vain? And your choices were, I must look fabulous at all times, or no. And I clearly had to put no, as I'm sitting here in pajama pants and a polar fleece that has hay on it right now.
Well, our listener Brianna then must be dressed well all the time, because she said she got Miss Piggy. That was the only Miss Piggy, actually. Brianna got Miss Piggy, but that was the only one. There were a couple of Beakers and a couple of Gonzos, a lot of Gonzos.
Wow.
I wonder which question puts you in the Gonzo category. You know? I don't know.
Do you have purple? Do you have purple fur?
Do you have
I
a
think
big
you're
nose?
Breaking this. You're breaking this down a little too much, yeah.
Well, it is Wheel of Trivia Day, so... get your calls in at 347-637-3238. That's 347-637-3238. Call in now to play Wheel of Trivia today. And Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Wheel of Trivia Wednesday edition, play along as Kermit the Geek and Animal Jennings try to trip up callers keen on spinning the bid prize wheel. And after some awfully eccentric horsey headlines, part two of the informative equine leg protection series from Finline Global provides some further enlightenment. And to wrap it all up, the Horse Health Report is here with previews of important information for breeding season.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, it is time for Daily Winnings.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
I don't know why that happened.
Why did that just play?
I don't know. Let's try this again. I don't know why that happened. Well, welcome to the show, everybody.
Again.
Welcome back. Boy, we're definitely having sound issues the last couple of weeks. Let's try this again and see if the right one's... Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
See? All right. Daily Winnie today goes out to a guy by the name of Jack Andreka. He is not a horse person. He is a little brainiac, 16 years old, and you might recognize that name because last year he became an international sensation by inventing a cheap and accurate pancreatic cancer sensor. And he was in high school, actually. He was in class, and he was not paying attention in science class, apparently. He was reading about nanotubes, which is something that all of us know a ton about, right? And apparently the teacher was talking about something else, and something struck him that if he combined what the teacher was talking about with what he was reading about, he could invent this this cancer test that would be simpler and much more accurate than any in the market today. Jamie, he contacted 200 universities. 199 of them turned him down for allowing him space to come in and do his research. Johns Hopkins took a chance and let him come in. He invented this. It was 100% accurate and 20 times faster and would just beat any cancer test out there, also for lung cancer and a couple of others. Well, he won international awards and became very, very popular in the science community. Well, he got together with two of his friends in the science community that also were part of the science fair that he won, and they are now part of the $10 million tricorder contest. And for all you Star Trek fans out there, you'll know what a tricorder is. It's that little box that they waved over your body to tell what was wrong with you and what diseases you had and whether you were sick or ill or anything like that. So they actually have a tricorder contest now going on for people to invent one. Well, he got together with three of his buddies, and they are working on a tricorder. And if anybody could do it, I think this guy could do it. They're all working on different parts of it. He is actually working on a gadget the size of a sugar cube that can look through the human skin and into the bloodstream, diagnosing illnesses and inspecting proteins. The other ones are working on an ultrasound machine the size of a flash drive, and the third is inventing an MRI test that would fit onto a playing card.
Wow.
So, I mean, you were talking some really brainiac kids, but I just think it's amazing that this, at that time, 15-year-old invented something that nobody else could with millions of dollars of research behind them. By the way, he's not lacking for university space now. People or universities coming out of the woodwork to offer him space now to work, I'm sure.
And this kid is 15 years old. I mean, that's just that's incredibly impressive. So we need people like him in the future. But how can you imagine being his science teacher and being like, talking to him about the mitosis and meiosis, it's like really basic science things. And here this guy is in your class designing pancreatic cancer tricorders.
Yes. You think he got an A, by the way?
You may be.
Or did he get an F for not paying attention in class?
I know, right?
Your turn.
Well, taking it back to the horses here, my horse, the Duke, gets the Daily Whinny. This is the horse that I bought from a listener, actually, Betty Faye. And Duke has been intermittently lame for about coming on 2 weeks, and about a week and a half, actually. And so this past week, he came up just a little bit off, and I poulticed him, and I wrapped him, I kept him in, and then he got a little better. Well, last Thursday, he came up like, oh my God, like his leg was broken, which to me screams abscess. His leg was swollen. It was like it was broken. I, you know, soaked his foot. I did all the abscess things that you do, wrapped his leg, and just in case it wasn't, left him in. My farrier came out Friday. And she comes out and she's hoof testing it, and she's like, this is not an abscess. I can't find anything. I can't find any sensitivity on his hoof whatsoever. So you know what that means? That means time to call the vet. So I call the vet on Monday, get an appointment for yesterday morning, bright and early in the morning, like 9 a.m., first thing. So I get, you know, I Monday night, I'm like, I'm going to take the wrap off, not give him any bute, and just see so he can be right at the worst form, you know, Tuesday morning for the vet. I get up yesterday morning. I get everybody fed. I jogged him Monday night. He's so lame. You just felt sorry for him, you know. And so I put him in the trailer yesterday morning. I'm in a hurry. I've got the horses to feed. I got the trailer to hook up. I got all this stuff. I got to get to the vet at 9 o'clock. It's like, you know, 30 minutes away. I put him in the trailer, and I drive to the vet. We get to the vet. I unload Duke. I'm waiting. Had to wait like 15 minutes for the vet to show up. And she finally gets there, and she's like, all right, let's take him out and jog him. So the vet tech takes him and jogs him down the road, and I'm like, wow, he looks really good. Like, really sound. I said, he hasn't looked that sound. She's like, well, let me take a look at it. I bring Duke over, who has been intermittently lame for a week and a half, has, like, Chad has lost sleep over his horse not feeling good. It's just been so stressful. On the way to the vet clinic, in the trailer, Duke blew an abscess out of his heel bulb. On the way, like, it was still a fresh blowout. So, of course, I'm like, great, I'm going to have a bill. She's like, I can't even charge you for that. I'm sorry. Go home. So my horse, I told her, I said, you miraculously cured him. All he needed was no bute and a trailer ride, and all of a sudden he's all better. But the good news is Duke is all better. He will get back to work today. His hoof looks great. He is feeling a lot better. He got turned out last night for the first time in a week and a half, and he was very happy to go outside. And I feel like a complete idiot. So there you go.
I wonder how many times, though, that horses actually come up lame and are, in fact, abscesses. It's got to be a good percentage, you know, when they're lame in the feet and stuff. Because how many times? We've had that 100 times. And you're all worried. You think it could be the ankle. You think it could be, you know, anything else. And then the abscess goes. And it's like, oh.
Well, I just thought, you know, this horse barely works for a living. Like, he does, he gets ridden maybe lightly, maybe 3 days a week on a good week. Yeah, you know, like, how did you hurt your, like, because the way the leg was swollen, you start doubting yourself. So like, oh, but when the farrier didn't find anything in the hoof, I'm like, that's it. He pulled a suspensory. He's done for 6 months. Oh, this is so stressful. I'm going to have to get it shockwaved and all this stuff for my husband's horse, you know. It just seemed a little stressful. And blew an abscess out on the trailer ride over. So, yay!
Well, that's
all
good.
Better.
That's good. Yeah, that's the best of all scenarios right there.
Yeah, it really is. Really is. So I was feeling a lot better. And I came home and I'm like, guess what? Your horse is all better now. And it was Bree. And I don't know which one he was more excited about. The guy said his horse was better or
I'm sure it was
Bree.
Maybe.
Yeah, we know which one it was.
Well, we still have room on the Wheel of Trivia. Give us a call. A couple spots left, 347-637-3238. 347-637-3238. But I think we can get started with the Wheel of Trivia.
Wheel of Trivia!
Trivia!
Well, the Wheel of Trivia, we play it every week on Wednesday. We ask one question of the callers, and if they get it right, we spin the wheel to see what you win. We have hundreds of dollars of prizes on the wheel. We still have those carrots breeches on there, the bootcut breeches. We've got all kinds of different things, gift certificates and gift packs from a bunch of companies. We got some books on there. And the crappy gift for the week, I have a vintage, get this, Jamie, on there right now, on one of the spots of the wheel, is a vintage three-pack of America's Horse magazine. What a classic.
Wait. Vintage America. First of all, I don't even know what America's Horse magazine is. It sounds like something like a quarter horse magazine. And number two, vintage means, is that like the last couple months?
No, this is like years old. Really used versions of the America's Horse magazine. We were cleaning out our drawers again. I have to get rid of this crap. So there you go. It's a three-pack of a vintage America's Horse magazine. Why do you think it's a crappy prize? Can't be like brand
crappy.
New one.
Pretty crappy.
Let's take Robin first. Oh, by the way, before we take Robin, I got Jennifer has a new winning winning for the right answer sound effect. So here we go. Let's try it. That's the, and then the one where you lose and don't get it right. High school basketball buzzer. And let's
God, that gives me nightmares.
Me too. Let's bring Robin in. Say hi to her.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. How the heck are you?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Now, you know how the Wheel of Trivia works, right? So I'm going to ask you a trivia question from a category, and then you're going to get to pick which category. I'm sorry. And then I'll ask you the question. You have 5 seconds from when I finish asking the question. So it's ungoogleable, basically. So you have to know it off the top of your head. And then...
Okay.
You get to spin the wheel. So, first of all, let me ask you, how are you doing this Wednesday?
Not bad. And yourself?
Oh, I'm fine. But, you know, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10, how's your week going so far?
Pretty good. I am in the process of restoring or re-beautifying a vis-a-vis carriage, horse carriage. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm progressing slower than I'd like, but it's progressing, and it's not drivable right now because I've taken it apart so much, but I'm looking forward to being able to use it again.
Did you write down how it goes back together? Just thought I'd ask. I just didn't want to see a Tim Taylor moment here.
I did not write down anything, but the wheels are still on, so I just take apart the front part, so only a little bit at a time.
Okay, good.
So
it'll still roll.
Is your garage like that of a man who tries to fix cars that never finishes, and that's like you can't even get in the garage because there's so much crap laying on the floor from the pieces that you've taken apart, and then there's all the tools and all that stuff just laying everywhere?
I think my carriage stuff takes up less space than my husband's computer stuff, so I'm good.
Okay. So you're good. You win still. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What category would you like? Would you like Fractured Facts, Horse Management, or Horses in the Morning Experts Only?
Let's take Horses in the Morning.
She's going to go with Experts Only. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. What podcast on Horse Radio Network does Horses in the Morning producer Coach Jen host?
Horse Tip Daily.
Yay!
Yay! You did it.
These are too
easy
for her.
Robin,
you did it this one.
I have to do those because I don't think I'd know any of the other ones.
Would you like to test one? Would you like to test your knowledge
of
like something like Fractured Facts?
Sure. Just don't ask me anything with dates in it.
No, we won't ask you any dates. We're going to go with Fractured Facts. And here's the question.
Okay.
Which of the following is not used to describe an Appaloosa coat pattern? Blanket, pengaré, snow cap, or varnish?
Wow.
Pengaré.
And you would have got that one correct. So there you go. You do know fractured
wow.
facts.
Very
well,
I
good.
Lucked out because my mom used to breed apps.
See? It seems like every question we ask everybody, it somehow traces back to something in their history where they remember it. That was fantastic. Good job. You only get to spin the wheel once.
Did you
Let's
know the answer
that
to that, Jamie? I didn't know the answer to it.
That would have been the one I did not recognize.
All right, here we go. Let me get the wheel. And all right, let's see if you get something good or if you end up with a vintage three-pack of America's Horse Magazine, which nobody's ever heard of. And it is. You win a Smokey Brannaman's book, Whisper This, Not Your Horse, But Yourself, and his I Graduated from Buck Off University t-shirt. So you get
Excellent.
Both of those. This is the best book out there for new horse owners or one thinking of buying a horse. Using his dry wit and years of experience, Smokey takes you through a myriad of things you need to know on topics such as buying the right horse, what to look for, common mistakes, training. And I know you probably have horses, but you can give this to somebody that's thinking about buying a horse. But you probably can wear the I Graduated from Buck Off You t-shirt, can't you?
It's an awesome t-shirt. It's awesome.
I should be able to.
Yeah,
I keep the book for my kids.
There you go. That's perfect. That'll work out well. Well, I don't know. Hold on just in case Jennifer doesn't have your address, and she'll get that again, and we'll get that book out to you. Thank you, Robin.
All righty. One thing.
Hold on. Let me just get Robin back. What was that?
Sorry. I just wanted to mention one thing to Jamie. There is nothing wrong with having a Dodge Ram for a minivan. Mine has worked just fine.
Amen, sister. I love you. I'm slapping that baby seat in the back of my big old truck, and people are like, you've got to get a minivan. It's so easy to lay the baby on the floor and change the diaper and all that. I'm like, you know what? I can put it on the floorboard or on the truck bed.
And what I always told people was, if I was in an accident with a minivan, who do you think would win?
Yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win. Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for that happy piece of advice. I appreciate it. I'm not converting to a minivan, Glenn. You can suck it.
All right, Robin. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Hold on.
Well, let's take our next caller in line here. By the way, if you're still waiting on hold, please hold on. We have more than one winner in the show, so we have a couple minutes left here. Let's take Michelle next. Is this Michelle from Louisiana?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Good. So you ready to win something fun?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, let's see. What category would you like, Michelle from Louisiana? Fractured facts, horse management, or horses in the morning, experts only?
Let's go with fractured facts.
Fractured facts. Now, remember, you have 5 seconds from the time that I finish asking the question to get the answer correct. Here we go. What is the name of the horse in Toy Story 2?
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't it.
I have no idea. In fact, one of my riders actually gave me a figurine of that horse. I could go get it for you, but I have no idea what his name is. Bucky?
Let's hear the noise.
Something like that. Yeah, that was really loud. Thanks.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate that sound.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I have the exact same stuffed animal. I have a little stuffed one, and there's no way I could have known the name of it. And his name was Bullseye. Bullseye.
Oh, God. I thought we were going to talk about real horses on this show.
These are Jennifer questions. You don't know what you're going to get.
Jennifer, come on. Give me a BHS question.
I'm just surprised you didn't take horse management because you're a pony club person.
I thought about it, but I'm not sharp this morning. I'm going to call back next week when I'm sharper.
All right, yeah. Call us back next week.
That's the magic is you can call back next
right.
week. Sorry
that's
you missed
plan.
That one.
Well,
we
obviously, I'm
going
to have to study up this weekend on cartoon horses so I can be well-rounded. So that's the plan.
This is
Thanks
the
for
Jeopardy
pointing out my
category,
deficiencies.
Of course. Well, hey, we'll talk to you again next week, Michelle.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
It's funny. I don't think, you know, I saw Toy Story 2. We watched it again just recently, and I don't think I'd have known the name of the horse either. Yet, we could all visualize the horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like, my farrier is going to be so mad if when she listens to this and realizes that somebody didn't know the name of it. That's, like, her favorite horse of all time. Bullseye.
Bullseye.
But I never would have known the name.
Oh, well.
Never.
All right. Well, let's. Our Yudi is on here, regular listener to the show. Good morning, Yudi.
Good morning.
What's going on, sister? How's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm kind of doing this as a way to show myself, yes, I can, because I usually suck at taking tests.
Well, this is number one. It's fun because it's a horse test. Number two, if you do suck, you can just call back next week. So it's win-win.
Hey,
oh,
I gotta tell you too, Jamie. Yudi, I'm just looking here on her Facebook page. She was Gonzo. Just saying.
She was Gonzo. Okay, well, I don't know how that is going to help you.
probably not
Glenn,
much.
Glenn seems to think that test is very, very important.
It is.
Most of us don't.
It is.
So, Yudi, let's see, what category? First of all, how's your week going? It's midweek, it's hump day, you're halfway through. Where are you right now? Are you in a cubicle? Are you calling from home? What's the story?
Well, I'm in my office at work, so the door is closed. I'm trying to get through this without getting in trouble.
That's why she's talking.
All right, well, hurry up then.
I'm going to make you laugh out loud. They're going to be like, what is going on in Yudi's office? She's out of control. She's talking to herself. All right, let's see. Yudi, what would you like? Fractured facts, horse management, or horses in the morning, experts only?
I think I'll go with the facts.
Fractured facts. Okay, here we go. You have 5 seconds from the time I finish asking the question. True or false? Marguerite Henry's book, Misty of Chincoteague, is about a real pony.
That's true.
Yay, you're right.
Hey, see, that was an easy one compared to Bullseye. I mean, who doesn't know that? Fantastic.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that Bullseye at all.
No, definitely not. Well, you get to spin the wheel. We're going to have somebody spin the wheel. See, your week is getting better already. You can
tests.
You did it, girl.
To get better. It's snowing outside after having 70 degrees on the weekend.
Well, then we have to make it better. Let's try to get something good here. Let's spin the wheel right now. All right, let's hope for some. Oh, there went the crappy gift. You missed that one. Might come around again, though. Oh, you did it! You win the Carrots Microcord Boot Cup Extended Knee Patch Breeches. This is a $99 value. Yeah,
awesome.
Let me tell you about them. They are the ultimate in versatility. This pant can be worn with a paddock boot or easily tucks in to a half chap or tall boot. Figure flattering compression microcord is supportive, provides unrestricted movement, and looks great both around the barn and around the town. These are Jennifer's absolute favorite. She owns several pairs of these, wears them all the time. She loves these boot cuts. Breeches from Carrots, and we thank them for donating. You get your choice of color and size as well. And as I said,
awesome.
That's a $100 pair of breeches. Congratulations, Judy. You're the big winner of the day.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Well, good. But now we have to get a picture of you in them, you know. You have to post that on Facebook.
Yeah,
it's
maybe after I lose about 50 pounds, right?
Girl, I feel you. This coming from the girl who, by the way, has been riding in maternity jeans. There is nothing sexy about riding in maternity jeans. However, for those of you who do have your 50 pounds to lose, I would recommend maternity jeans because they're so comfortable.
Save the elastic waistband.
You don't even have to button them. Yeah, you just pull them up
you
and
found
pull
a
them.
Place.
Say what?
Well, thanks.
Have either of you found a place for those stickers yet?
Oh, no,
oh,
you know,
yay.
I was, Yudi was kind enough to send us some stickers she made of our logos for the show and for the Horse Radio Network, and I was kind of, I'm holding out because I have a place in mind, but I don't have it yet, So I'm holding out. I have a place in mind for them. They're sitting right here in my office.
My three-day eventing one is going to go on my trailer, but it has to go on the truck or the trailer when it's warm outside. So, because they stick better if you put them on when it's hot. So they will go on the truck. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. And congratulations. You won that huge prize of the MicroCord breeches. And hopefully we'll talk to you again next week, Judy.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great
day.
Thank
you.
All right. Hang on, okay?
That was probably not a good choice of words when she said she wasn't going to post a picture until she lose 50 pounds and then you call it a huge prize. That's probably not what you really meant.
Oh,
let's say a terrific prize. Terrific
well, let
prize.
Me just tell you, getting back to the maternity jeans thing, wow, yeah. I might keep these.
You like elastic waistbands now, huh?
I do. You slide them up, you slide them down, no big deal. I'm putting my half chaps on the bottom of them, no big deal. It's perfect.
Well, if you're still on hold, please give us a call back next week. We've run out of time for this week's Wheel of Trivia. Thank you, everybody, for playing. Thank you to Smokey Brenneman, a friend of the show, for the donation of the book and T-shirt, and, of course, to Carrot for donating that terrific prize, which Judy just got lucky enough to win today. We'll be back again next Wednesday with the Wheel of Trivia. Right now, we're going to take a break for our first sponsor of the day, and then we're going to come back, and we have part two in the Thin Line Leg Protection Series. Remember, we started that last week. It's a four-part series all about leg protection, when you should wear, what types they are. And today, Jennifer had a chance to talk to the good people at Thin Line, Elaine, about the types and functions of boots and leg protection. So we're going to hear that right after this commercial from Equestrian Collections. And then we'll be back later in the show with thehorse.com. Hi, Glenn here, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week, I'm featuring the Officinalis Dry Shampoo line. And most of your listeners who listen to us every week know I have a gypsy horse, and he's mostly white. So I needed something that I could use to keep his mane particularly clean, but hold his whole body clean in the colder months. And I found this, and it really works great. All you have to do is spray it on, let it sit for a little bit, and then comb it out. And it really, really does not only get them clean, but sparkly clean. It comes in several different flavors, if you will, and they are for different things, not only to keep them clean, but, for instance, we have sage, which is for dry skin, lavender, which is a good thing for if you have a little bit of sores on the horse's skin. It's got a little good for that. Chamomile is supposed to be good for fungus and color enhancement. Blueberry is for dark color enhancement. And rose is for bay or chestnuts. So there's all kinds of things you can do with this. And I use it on my white horse just this weekend. He had mud in his mane from rolling in the mud, and I about had a heart attack. And so I put this stuff on it, let it dry, brushed it right out, didn't lose a hair, and it absolutely gleams. I highly recommend it from somebody who is a grooming fanatic.
And that's Officinalis, which is spelled Officinalis.
Yes, and it's only about $20.
And that's Officinalis Sage Dry Shampoo. You can just search for that at equestriancollections.com, and the whole line will come up at equestriancollections.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Jen, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show here on the Horse Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for this second in a four-part series on leg protection for your horse, produced in cooperation with Thin Line Global. In this series, with the expert help of Elaine Lockhead, we will cover all aspects of leg protection. Now that part one got us up to speed on who needs leg protection and why, let's start this second segment by delving into the types of horse boots and what they do. Good afternoon, Elaine.
Good afternoon to everybody.
And in the first installment of this four-part series on leg protection, we talk a little bit about the why and how of leg protection, what types of horses need it and why they need it. So I guess the next logical step is to talk about the different types of boots that are made and what's available and what they do, because it can be a little overwhelming. There's a the boot page in any given catalog is extensive. So why don't you start us down that path of what kinds of boots there are and what those boots do?
Okay. Well, let's start with the easiest one first. Let's start with bell boots.
Oh, we're starting at the bottom and working up. I like that.
Exactly. So bell boots are designed to protect the coronary band, which is right above the top of the hoof. The coronary band is where you get, it's almost like your cuticle. It's where you get all of your growth, and it's where all the blood flow is. So it's a very critical part of the horse's foot. So bell boots are primarily designed to protect the coronary band. And most of the bell boots on the market are made out of plastics because people like to buy all sorts of different colors. The problem with plastic bell boots or rubber bell boots is that it really doesn't protect against blunt trauma. And thin line is such a great shock absorber, but it does protect against that. Additionally, rubber boots, again, get hot. And we've talked a couple of times about heat retention and how heat is one of the primary causes for strains and muscle and tendon issues. So you really don't want to overheat any of the horse's body. So the thin line ventilates, and the thin line also has antifungal agents in it because you need to keep that area very clean. If you get any kind of fungus in there, then you can be looking towards abscesses and all kinds of things that can keep you out of saddle for a while. So bell boots also, their second function is to keep a horse from pulling a shoe off. So that's pretty critical when you're riding. You have a lot of horses who tend to overreach and step up into their front footprint, which is what we actually want them to do when we're riding. But very often they'll pull the shoe and that can hurt the horse, or, you know, more than that, you have to call farrier and wait several days to ride again. So
that sucks. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to do that. So those, you know, bell boots, other than that, there are a couple of different fastening closures. Any kind of double Velcro closure is generally best, so that the bell boot doesn't come undone while you're riding. That's pretty important just from a safety.
Oh, it's always fun to go through the water jumps at big events and find the bell boots floating in there.
Exactly.
Do thin line bell boots float or sink?
They float. And in fact, awesome. One of the things, when we talk about other leg protections, one of the best things about thin line is it does not absorb water. So you can work in wet arenas, you can cross creeks, you can go in and out of water, and no matter what the boot is, it won't absorb water. And what that means is the boot stays light.
Ah.
It doesn't shift, it doesn't rub, it doesn't change the feel of the horse's way of going. So those are all pretty important things, at least from the horse's standpoint.
Now, am I right, because I have a lot of very old horse books in here. I have a penchant for collecting old horse books from flea markets. A bell boot is what was once referred to as an overreach boot?
Yes.
Okay.
Because originally it was designed, well, just for that purpose, because what happens is the hind leg overreaches into the front leg.
Got it.
And the horse will strike himself on the back of the front foot. Or he will then, you know, catch an edge of a shoe and pull the shoe off.
Got it. Okay, so overreach boot is just an old-fashioned term for a bell boot. Got it.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, next.
Okay, so since you were talking about where things come from, historically, the most popular item to put on the leg were the leg wraps, or people call them polo wraps. They're also called track bandages. Track bandages have a lot more integrity to them. So they wrap a little bit firmer, like an ace bandage. Leg wraps have kind of begun going out of fashion, but it's not really a fashion issue. They've kind of started to disappear for two reasons. One, most importantly, if you put a leg wrap or a polo wrap or a racing bandage on incorrectly, you can actually bow them very easily. So unless you are pretty well educated about how to put one on, you can bow a tendon, and then what happens is people get afraid of putting it on too tight, and then they're out riding and the leg wrap drops down, and then that's when you discover all of a sudden that your leg wrap is down around your horse's foot, and
oh my,
really dangerous.
Yeah, that looks like a disaster.
Yeah, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So, and then in addition to that, when you use leg wraps, you have to wash them pretty much daily because they get really dirty, and then you have to rewrap them. So, you know, people are busy today, and they really don't have 20 minutes on just putting a wrap on a horse's leg. So the manufacturing industry has worked very hard to come up with different types of boots that are going to do the same thing a leg wrap would do, and even better, hopefully protect.
I was going to say, they probably do it better, don't they?
Or they do. They do it better than the old leg wraps used to do it. So manufacturing companies have done a lot of work and research on designing products that are going to do everything a leg wrap can do, do it better, and do it easier for the customer. So what they've come up with now is the primary boots that people use are a splint boot, and it's named a splint boot because its prime purpose is to just protect the splint bone. And then there are open
now,
front boots.
Now, for our listeners out there who may be a little vague on which part of the horse's leg the splint boot or the splint bone lives in, that is the interior surface of the horse's cannon bone area.
Right. So it's behind the cannon bone and in front of the tendon.
The inside
so
edges.
There's a little bit of, when you feel your horse's leg, you'll feel the cannon bone in front. And just behind the cannon bone, there's a little indentation. And then you can feel the tendon in the back. In that little indentation is a splint bone. And that splint bone is pretty important to the horse's soundness, and it's also incredibly easy to break. And once it's broken, you're going to have, you know, some downtime where the horse is recovering, but the horses will recover and come back sound. But then you have a cosmetic issue because it always leaves a pretty good welt or a bump there. And then once you have that, it can be very difficult to buy leg protection that fits well and doesn't aggravate it.
Oh,
so we want to try not to break the splint bone on the horses.
Yeah, or bruise it.
So splint boots are made pretty much just to cover that one little area. These are generally the least expensive boots on the market. They're almost always made out of neoprene and then some type of foam padding right at the splint bone. But that's all they do is protect the splint. And again, you don't get any protection from blunt trauma. So it might help if the horse were to sort of gingerly tag the splint bone. But if you get a horse that really hits himself, you know, a $19 set of splint boots is not going to protect you the way, you know, a product made of a different material might. Then the next largest category of boots would be the open front boot. The open front boot is designed for horses that jump. The theory behind the open front boot is that you want the boot to have no protection at the front of the cannon bone. And this is so when horses are jumping and they take a rail down, they can feel when they hit the rail. We want the horses not to do that anymore. We want them to jump clear. So what the jumpers do is they use a boot that protects the inside of the leg, the back of the leg, the outside of the leg, and not the front of the leg. So generally, they have straps that are just elastic straps that go across the front of the leg. And then the rest of the leg is protected by a hard shell surface and then lined with some type of material. The most popular materials are neoprene, gel, and thin line. And then the last category of boots is probably the largest because it's used across multiple disciplines. These boots are called team boots, sport boots, or galloping boots.
Boots wrap,
the way you define what it is it wraps around the entire leg. So when you close the boot, 100% of the lower leg is covered. So the horse is protected on both sides, in the back and in the front. And in this style of boot, you can choose for the hind leg, you can have a tall sport or brushing boot. So primarily horses that are doing a lot of lateral work, like dressage horses
mm-hmm.
or driving horses, will use hind boots that are very tall. The rest of the people will use an ankle boot that just protects the inside of the fetlock, along with a sport boot, or otherwise known as brushing or galloping boot, in the front, so that you have full protection in the front, and then just the ankle protection in the hind. And the people who use those typically are event riders and endurance riders. If you're doing a lot of jumping, you can't have a high hind boot. So they just check the ankle of the back leg and the whole front leg. So, and again, once again, the materials that are used inside these boots are generally neoprene, different closed cell foams, sometimes sheepskin, and then thin line.
Okay,
and what is good about some of the other products, the sheepskin is, you know, a little, it's more moldable for a horse's leg. You can put a sheepskin boot on any horse and it'll kind of fit because the fur will compress in some areas and not in others. But sheepskin is not really great on a horse's leg. If you get it in water, you can only imagine what that's going to look like in very short order. So, you know, probably the best option, luckily we have this incredible technology where we have a amazingly impact-resistant product that is very thin, doesn't absorb water, has antifungal agents, and most importantly, breathes. So you can turn horses out in these boots, and they can be protected in the paddock. It'll kill the rain rot. It won't overheat any tendon. It will protect from almost all impact or trauma to the leg. But what we love at Thin Line, we're all horse riders, but we're all very busy and we work. These boots are so easy to take care of. You hose them off, and you're done. You can throw them in the washing machine. You can throw them in the washing machine. And the nice thing, you know, I hate to hang my boots out and have them have to dry for 2 or 3 days. But since the Thin Line doesn't absorb water, all you have to do, you hose them off, you're done. You can go around to the next source.
And dry a lot faster, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, there's such a variety available, and we haven't finished it all yet, folks. We're going to have to divide the types and functions into two separate segments because there are so many. But this covered a very high percentage of the ones that you're going to see on most horses in English disciplines. The ones we're going to cover on the next one are also carries some boots that you frequently see on Western disciplines and some boots that you see on horses that aren't even being ridden. So stay tuned for the next installment, folks. Once again, thank you very much, Elaine, for stopping by. Tell folks where people can find Thin Line on the interweb.
ThinLineGlobal.com. We're a USA manufacturer. And we support our dealers. So even if you order online, that order will go to your closest tack shop. If you choose to shop online, we support the tack shops across America.
And that wraps up part two of our four-part series on leg protection. Thank you once again to Elaine Lockhead for sharing your expertise, and thank you to Thin Line Global for helping us put this series together. And as a thank you to our listeners, when you order online at thinlineglobal.com, enter the promo code RADIO at checkout for special savings. Stay tuned for part three, where we will continue talking about the different types of boots available and what their jobs are.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Jennifer. And Glenn, I think what we're going to do is, because we're running long and we are going to have thehorse.com on in just a couple minutes, I know there's some news we wanted to cover before we get to it. So I think we're going to skip song four today. Do we have an ad that we need to play?
I wanted to mention before we got off the Thin Line thing that they have given all the listeners of the Horse Radio Network, if you use that coupon code RADIO at checkout, they'll give you 12% off. So I wanted to mention that as well. And before we get into the news, I also wanted to talk about WinTech. You know, too many riders know the frustration that comes from their saddle not fitting or no longer fitting. Many hours and many more dollars are often spent trying to compensate for a poor fit or buying another saddle, only to have the same thing happen again months later. Enter the Easy Change Fit Solution, available exclusively in high-performance Bates leather saddles and Easy Care Wintech saddles. By combining the Easy Change Gullet System, introduced over 15 years ago, with the new Easy Change Riser System, Wintech now offers an unparalleled scope of adjustment for the total fitting solution that's not only easy but measurable, giving total confidence to be able to make changes to the saddle where they're needed. Whether you're a serious competitor or ride horses for the joy of it, choose a saddle with the Easy Change Fit Solution that puts your horse's comfort first. Enjoy a peace of mind in knowing your saddle offers full adjustability and is able to meet the changing needs of your horse. That's the EasyChangeFitSolution.com, EasyChangeFitSolution.com. And, of course, Jennifer, here at the Horse Radio Network, Jennifer has used a Wintech saddle for the last almost 15 years since they came out. So in Florida, they're great because you hose them off. You don't have to worry about them molding, and, you know, it's so humid here. Now, you have the opposite problem with your leather drying out there, probably, with it being
I do. Well, you know what? I've had my Wintech saddle forever. They last forever. So I have a Wintech Isabel, which is a dressage saddle. That was my introduction to a dressage saddle. And then I also have just one of the Wintech Pros, the Pro Jump Saddle, which is fantastic for all of my lessons. Those kids, because the great thing about Wintech versus a smooth leather saddle sometimes is you stick to it a lot better. So these little kids, like, I put them in these Wintech saddles, and it just helps them stick a little bit better, too. They don't slide around because they don't have the full seat riding breeches or something.
And you don't have to worry about when they get on catching their shoes on the saddle and, you know, on the leather and cutting it, or, you know, they can beat it up pretty good, and it's still there. So you won't have a problem. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
let's
talk about something that I came across in the news this morning. You're going to love this, Jamie. This poor kid, you know, we were talking about that very bright kid earlier who's, you know, turning the science world upside down at the age of 16. Well, there was another poor kid in Pennsylvania, Meadville, Pennsylvania, that was doing a senior project. And it was senior project day, and he had spent a lot of time and done a terrific job building a wagon, a bright blue wagon that is pulled by horses. So he got his aunt and uncle to help out, and Ryan Anderson was his name. He got his aunt and uncle to help out, and he brought two halflingers and hooked them up. And, of course, halflingers, anybody knows anything about halflingers knows they're like little tiny draft horses. And he hooked them up to the wagon, and they brought this all to school so he could do this show and tell. Well, the idea was he had to go in and do the inside part where he talked about what he did and everything for his senior project and how he did it and all that with the class. And then he was going to bring the instructor and one of the other teachers out and give him a ride on the wagon. That all sounds terrific, like a lot of initiative there, right?
Right. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good, except aunt and uncle were out holding the horses. Something spooked the horses. The horses freaked out, took off, ran the poor aunt over, ended up life-flighting her to the hospital. She's now been admitted into the hospital. She got hurt. And the horses decided to take off through Meadville and not stop. The police were called when they were told there was a horse and buggy, and, of course, that's near Amish country, too, so I'm sure they thought they were going to see a black buggy and a horse. Instead, they see a team of these halflingers pulling this blue wagon through town. Well, the wagon wasn't very stable, so that's going. They have actually a video of this whole thing taken from the police cars, and they have video of this wagon just going back and forth, swaying and hitting parked cars along the road. And then they tried to stop it a couple times, and the horses would just turn a different direction or down a different street. They finally stopped it when they got a bunch of cop cars involved, and they squeezed them in. They got on both sides of them. This is how they stop speeders sometimes. They do a squeeze play where they'll just slowly get closer and closer, and what they did is ended up slowing the horses down until they stopped, and then some spectators actually came out and caught the horses. But a wild
Holy
ride.
Holy cow!
Four cars were damaged, and they said that a sign, they took out a sign, And the police were going down this, backtracking through all the streets they had gone on to find more cars that might have been damaged along the way. But it was, there's a video, Jennifer's going to post a link to it. There's a video on this news article of the whole thing, and it's 4 minutes long of these horses just going down street after street with a wagon banging back and forth, and it was wild. It was wild.
So there's a couple of ways to look at this. Number one, you look at it from the child's perspective. He's giving this presentation. He's nervous. He's got everything working. He's out inside because he was inside giving the presentation when this happened. So he's inside. He's like, okay, teacher, come on outside. I'll give you a ride. He walks out and to the scene of chaos. His aunt is laying on the ground. She can't breathe. She's moaning and screaming. Then the uncle's gone because he's been chasing the horses. There's like tire skid marks from where they whipped it around in the grass and took off. He hears police sirens going through. Poor kid. Like, high school is not hard enough. Then you have to throw all this into it. And the teacher's thing is, like, this kid, what did he do? Like, what am I supposed to be out here to see? I wonder what he's going to get, like, grade. Because it wasn't his fault. His intentions were good.
But I got to tell you, when you see the video, it had to have severely damaged the poor wagon he built. That's not good.
Here's what I used to build. Oh, geez. That's awful.
I got to tell you, though. Tell me what policemen that don't know anything about horses, or anybody that doesn't know anything about horses, what is the first thing they want to do? And this happens in this situation. What's the first thing they want to do when you see the runaway wagon and horses coming down the road? What's the first thing they do?
Is it coming towards them? Because would they jump out in front of it and wave their arms, or would
they?
That's exactly what he did.
Okay, having driven carriages, having been to carriage shows where there's been runaway carriages, let me tell you something that you don't do. You don't stand in front of them and wave your arms because they will run your ass over. So and it hurts. So don't do that. That's not a good idea. All right.
So why does that make horses run away? Because, like, for the most part, unless they're in a blind panic, that'll work with a horse that's not pulling a carriage.
Yeah, well, they got the carriage chasing them, too, which is freaking them out. It's banging against them. It's freaking them out. It's making a lot of noise back there. So you have a chance with a single horse. With a pair, they feed off each other. So chances of getting them stopped are slim to none. Wendy was telling us about, we were over at Black Prong last weekend. Apparently Black Prong had an incident where, get this, David O'Connor was on the back of a wagon. It was years ago. He was on the back of a competition carriage. They were going through one of the obstacles. They hit one of the posts really hard. It threw the driver and David O'Connor and the navigator off the back. The four in hand of horses got loose and apparently ran nonstop for about 15 minutes, running into cars and just all over the ground. It was one of the things they still talk about there. And apparently nobody's ever seen David on a carriage again. So,
well, smart man. Control better when you're sitting on him, I guess, David, huh? Jeez. That's a nightmare. Poor kid. I just feel so sorry for him. And this is, like, going to be a YouTube sensation now, his poor carriage that he worked so hard on just getting destroyed. Unbelievable. I want to know what spooked him, though. Like, did it branch fall or what? But they didn't
say, car, huh? Somebody honk a horn. You know, kid probably driving through the driveway honking a horn or something. Who knows?
What happened at the high school? Yeah. Hey, we got another update on Rachel Alexandra. They've been only giving us updates about once a week, and this one came in last night. Rachel Alexandra is healing well following that surgical procedure performed to drain that abscess that developed just adjacent to her reproductive tract. So she's doing better. She's been there a month. Can you imagine what the bill is? I mean, not that they care, obviously, but the bill is for staying in critical condition for a month at Rudin Riddle. Oh, my God.
And assigned techs that are with her 24 hours a day that don't leave her side.
Oh, yeah. They've already said there's one guy that, like, used to be a tech, and he's, like, basically her caretaker now. So that's what he does. So it is, we definitely wish her the best, and she's getting along a little bit better. They say it is just a long road towards recovery, and that this last week's procedure was a reminder of one of the many hurdles that she can and will face along the way. So we wish her the best.
Well, speaking about health, the quarantine at HITS here in Ocala is supposed to have been lifted this morning. They actually chose, they had two options. They could go up to 28 days with the quarantine and just see how everybody did at the end of 28 days. Or at the 21st day, they could elect to have all the horses on the property tested. And that's what they elected to do. They all came up negative, so they are lifting the quarantine today. Horses will be allowed in and out of the HITS showground as of today. Now, I got to wonder, though, would you be inclined, now that it's open, and it's open just in time because there's a $100,000 class this week, the $50,000 class, the $25,000 class, all the big classes come up this week. Do you think that you would still want to bring, would you bring your horse in at this point, knowing it just had been lifted?
Well, I definitely would. I mean, there's biohazard things that you can do to make sure that you're being safe. When we talk to thehorse.com, there's so many things, you know, don't graze in public areas. Don't stick your water, the hose from the water bucket in your horse's bucket to fill up if it's been in every other horse's bucket. Certain things that you can do. Now, I'm assuming that most people down there have been working very, very hard to get to this horse show. This is not just, a horse show series that you go, you know, the Blue Ribbon Show series that Jet and I've been to. This is some serious money, some serious showing, and they want to get there and get it done. So I would imagine most people will go back without a doubt, and I would be one of those people.
Yeah, and you got to think too that this place has been quarantined; no horses were allowed in. So if you have a farm nearby and you trailer in, you haven't showed at all. You know, you haven't been able to go to this at all. Yeah, so you've been shut out all along. But that's good news. Now, not such good news in Utah. There are nine cases now that have come to be in Cache County, Utah, of EHV1, and they've had to put four of those horses down, and apparently they're trying to keep things as quarantined as they can in that part of Utah. So bad news in that part of Utah, and they think, I guess, that all of them have been related to the Cache County Fairgrounds Horse Arena at some point, and that arena has closed now and will not be used until this is all blown over.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad they're getting it all back together. Yeah, and it's reopened on Florida, but I know it's going to have residual effects all over the country. I mean, we had that huge scare here in Arizona, and every horse trial was canceled that I was going to go to for several months. And there are many around here, so it definitely stung. But you do whatever you can for your horse's safety, you know.
One more piece of news before we head to thehorse.com is that we had talked about a property that was for sale. If you remember right, a while back, we talked about a property in Wellington, Florida called Two Swans Farm. And it was for sale. It was owned by Alan Cohen, who died. He was chairman of the Madison Square Garden Corporation and was co-owner of the Boston Celtics and the New Jersey Nets. A very fancy place down there in Wellington that was for sale. It had been for sale, Jamie, for 2 years. They couldn't sell it.
Wow.
So what they did is they had an auction, and apparently the auction went pretty well because they had originally been asking $7.5 million for the place. The auction reserve was set at $4 million, and they ended up selling it for $6.8 million to a guy who wants to remain nameless. He's an Ecuadorian businessman with varied equestrian interests. And you know, if he's an Ecuadorian businessman and he has equestrian interests and he's moving to Wellington, you know what that is, don't you? Polo. He's a polo guy. You know that.
Of course.
So he bought the place, and they were very happy to sell it. They had a champagne party immediately after because this place has been for sale for a long time. Apparently, Mrs. Cohen, who was the widow, said that she wanted to sell it to spend more time traveling with her daughter, Rebecca. And my guess is with $7 million bucks in your pocket, you can do some traveling. Shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, no problem there. How do we get one of those? Like, what do we have to do? Just win the lottery? Is that my only chance?
Yeah, that's it, pretty much. Yeah, you're married to a fighter pilot who works for the government. Pretty much your only chance. Yeah.
The Air Force pay, you know. It's more of a service.
Yeah.
The insurance is good.
Well, I know we're waiting for Dr. Jones, but why don't we say hi to Michelle right after this?
It's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Yes, it is that time again, and we've got Michelle here. Sorry, Glenn, didn't mean to cut you off there. And it's one of your favorite topics, Glenn. We're going to talk to Michelle about breeding.
It sure beats poop. Last week it was poop week, all week. We couldn't get away from poop.
Poop has been so popular. We at the Horse have a new series of infographics that people can share on social media, and our poop one got like 500 shares the first day it was up, so people like poop. And
wow.
I have to tell you, I got my little kit to do with my fecal egg count. Right after that, I got off the air with you guys and ordered my little kits and was out scooping poop into little cups. So I'm waiting for the results.
Where did you order your kits from?
From a laboratory online. They're an advertiser with the Horse. You can get on and poke around and find them.
Okay, so you don't remember.
It was... it's Horseman's Laboratory.
Okay, yeah, that's who we've had them on the show before. That's what I was wondering. And again, I think it's time for me to do it too. I wanted to wait a little bit more towards spring, but I think it's pretty much spring here.
Yeah. You know, it comes with a little kit, and you have your little cup and a little spoon. And I will never look at a gelato spoon the same after stooping over.
God.
Fresh horse poop and filling my little fecal sample cup, but all for the health of my horses.
That makes me want to have some ice cream later.
No, it doesn't.
let's all go to Baskin Robbins and sample flavors.
No, thank you. but I'm looking forward to seeing the results. I'm a little worried that I'm going to fail as a horse parent, that my horses are going to get horrible scores because that's just the way I am worrying about my horses. But I'm looking forward to getting those results so I can start that strategic deworming program with my vet.
Now listen, it does not mean that you're a bad mother if your horses are shedding, because this is all designed. Like the first time I ever did the fecal sample, I dewormed them, and then like 3 weeks later took the samples and they're like, all clear. I'm like, well, of course, I dewormed them 3 weeks ago. And they're like, oh yeah, don't do that.
No. You want a raw sample. But we just put together this deworming video series, which you'll start seeing on thehorse.com in April. And I asked Dr. Sundholm, who is our expert for it, you know, can you fail your fecal test? And he said no. So he's with you on that. But it's interesting because we're changing so much from how we used to deworm our horses every 8 weeks. The farrier would come, you'd rotate your pace, and you would deworm them. And now we're moving to the strategic application of the deworming drugs. And that's... Everything that we put on thehorse.com and all the research we see says this is how we should be doing it. We need to be doing it because of resistance and for our horse's health. But even me as a horse owner, I've had a hard time making this transition. And so Dr. Sundholm convinced me, and hopefully we can convince other people too. So good for you, Jamie, for being ahead of the curve on it.
Well, and I think it saves you money in the long run, really. You know, I hate shoving chemicals in my horse's mouth, not knowing exactly what it's doing or if it's doing anything. So getting the deworming samples in the springtime is something that's going to be so important for their health for the summer and for the health of, you know, the fact that we're a little short on dewormers. There's none in the pipeline. There's none coming up. So if we we don't get these horses, you know, if we get them, all the parasites used to the dewormers, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not just about the health of your horse that you have now. It's about the health of the horses you'll have in the future and the entire population of horses. So you have to kind of look big picture on it and do it. And so, and I'm just saying this, I just got convinced. So
okay.
But
well,
I'm
sure we can preach on. Yeah, I'm sure we could preach on about this, and nobody's going to agree with us more than Dr. Jones. But that is not why she's coming on today.
No,
because,
no.
Again, it's time to talk about loving, making babies. Yeah. Hump day. Come on.
Yes. Welcome, Dr. Jones.
Good morning. And that was a great little discussion you guys had. And as a 21-year veteran of equine medicine, I still freak out when I see those parasite eggs on a fecal exam and, or fecal flotation, and I think I need to deworm that horse, and I just have to hold back because you don't deworm every single one you see an egg on.
Yeah. It's definitely a changing mindset, and so I'm looking forward to sharing that video series with everyone starting in April because it's really good information. It changed the way I'm looking at things. But today we're talking about one of your favorite topics, baby horses and getting mama pregnant. So
absolutely, absolutely. We've already got a couple babies in our practice. Got to see a newborn yesterday, all healthy, loving it.
Yeah.
If you guys need to know how to get pregnant, you can just ask me.
Maybe we just run this session, you know?
Let me tell you, I feel sorry for broodmares now. Let me just tell you that right now. I'm like, oh, you poor thing. Sorry.
Yes.
And you're not even at the tail end, right? I mean, how many more months?
I started my third trimester yesterday.
Oh, so you did. Oh, yeah. Well, when you get to the part of indigestion and can't lay down and sleep, yeah, that's when you really feel for them.
Yeah,
well, and
that happened about a month ago, so thank you very much.
Oh.
And let me also tell you that you don't sleep well, you don't eat well, nothing tastes good. Like, it just, you would think, I thought food is going to be so good, but you don't even have room for food.
Right.
It sucks.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, and just think that these poor broodmares, there's only 12 months in a year, and they're pregnant for 11 of them.
Yeah, that sucks.
Year after year, hopefully. But what are the things that that are most important for horse owners to know before they breed their mares?
Well, the first thing, and I try to impress this upon any of my horse owners that say, I'm thinking about getting my mare pregnant. The first thing you want to do is check their age. Just like in humans, younger ages seem to do a little better job at getting pregnant easier than the older ones. I am, for one, an example of that being in my 40s. The other thing is you want to just go to the back end of your horse and lift up her tail and take a look. I know that sounds a little rude and crude, but a recessed, as they call it, because they'll tell me, oh, she's had babies before. They don't know how long ago it's been. She's getting to be 12 or 13 or 14 years of age. They want to get one more baby maybe out of her because they're a new owner to this horse. If you go back, those couple of babies have kind of done some damage to that mare. They've made her a bit saggy. And what I mean by that is that the rectum gets pulled inward and makes a shelf where when they defecate, some of the manure may stain or fall onto the shelf on top of the vulva. And that's a great source for bacterial infections in the uterus of the mare. So those are things that you can do on your own as a owner is check the age, because younger horses, mostly between 8 and 10, 8 and 11, 8 and 12 years of age, or 6 and 12 years of age, are better candidates for getting pregnant. And then the tail, lift it up. If there's a recessed rectum, you're going to have a little bit more difficult time get that mare pregnant, most likely, because she may be a bit of a dirty mare, as we call it, with bacteria in her uterus.
Okay. And so after an owner has taken a look at their mare and they contact their vet to help with reproductive aspects of breeding, as a vet, do you get people asking you, like, should I breed my mare? Is this a good mare to breed?
Not that often, unfortunately, because there's a few women that say absolutely not. They have a witchy mare. They think that breeding her is going to calm her down, and all she does is make witchy babies. And they tend to be sometimes those that are very protective of their babies and will bite and kick. The babies tend to be very aggressive, those kind of things. So you really have to consider their behavior as well as their conformation. As one trainer put it, it's like a lottery ticket, and you're playing the lottery when you're doing reproduction. You put two of the best qualities together. Look at the thoroughbred world. Put two of the best qualities together. You put, you know, Secretariat back in his days and Rachel Alexander in her day and put them together, and then I'm going to have this high-end quality baby, and you may get the worst characteristics of each of those two parents into that baby, and who wants to buy a bad lottery ticket?
So why do we do this?
Because we love babies and we want to make babies. We always are optimistic and we hope that we get the better qualities and not the crappy qualities, pardon my language. And pardon the pun. The one thing that I'll get the question is I want to breed my mare, what do I do? So the first thing that your veterinarian will do for you is pull a culture and cytology of your mare's uterus. And that's very important to do before you even take the first step of probably picking out your stallion, because you want to know how dirty is her uterus. She could be a maiden mare, and they still can be a dirty uterus as a maiden mare. So you want to look into that test and have that done. You need to have those pulled when they're in heat. So you need to know your mare's cycle, which probably brings up a whole new subject, is how often do they cycle, and it's basically once a month. They will come into estrus, which is what we call our heat cycle, and they will be ovulating towards the end of that heat cycle. Then they go into diestrus, and then they come back into estrus after that again. So during that estrus period, you have about 5 to 7 days to pull your culture.
And so once you get all that information back and your mare, you get the green light, this mare is good to breed, and you start shopping for stallions, what do you as a vet want an owner to know about their breeding contracts when they start talking to stallion owners?
Well, the big thing is they need to know the ins and outs of that stallion contract. What days do they collect the stallion? That's what I always ask them. Is it a free-for-all? Can I call them any day of the week, any time in the month? To have them, well, they do it on a holiday, Memorial Day, you know, because we run into that for late breedings, warm blood people especially. Will they ship on a Friday for Saturday delivery? Are they in an area where they can do that? Are you in the area as a owner or a veterinarian that you can receive a FedEx delivery on a Saturday? Back in the days, I was unable to receive FedEx deliveries at my clinic, and that was early 2000s. On a Saturday, because they had no delivery out in the boonies, per se, and I was just outside of Orlando. So you need to know the ins and outs of delivery of the semen, because you need to get it in your mare in a short amount of time. The other thing you want to look at is it shipped semen, cooled shipped semen, or is it the frozen straws? Frozen straws, you need to talk to your veterinarian about the percentages of conception on frozen versus the cooled semen. Cooled semen has got a higher percentage of conception than the frozen semen does. The other thing is how many straws, what size straws are you getting on the frozen? So there's a lot of ins and outs on the basic contract. And then the other thing is they will have requirements of ultrasounds on some of these contracts. That's mostly in the warm blood performance horse world, not necessarily thoroughbred, where you have to check them on certain dates and make sure they're pregnant to make sure that your contract is a good contract to show that you did follow along and the mare did hold her foal till X date.
Mm-hmm. And because the stallion owner wants you to have a positive experience as well, but they also don't want to get into a situation where they're complicating their business.
Absolutely, absolutely. The stallions can only breed so many mares, and they cannot overwork those stallions. They will not get good results. And so they want to have the best results, like you said, and they want to have a great experience on both ends. So they're trying to work within the realm of not overdoing their stallion as well as supplying a need or service to the mare owners.
Now, you're talking about the little bit more high-tech process of shipped semen and artificial insemination. What about live cover? Are there any different concerns when a mare is being covered live?
It depends. Most of the live cover is the thoroughbred world. There are some that are done in the backyard situation. The backyard ones are easier because those probably maybe breed 4 to 10 mares a year. They're not very popular. The thoroughbred world is a whole different world. You have to have a shed row time. They should have that explained out in their contract that you need to call by X time, either the morning before the date you want or the evening before, depends on their time constraints, and get you booked in to a shed row time of morning or afternoon coverage. So be, you know, read that, know your limitations, and then, of course, anytime you're doing artificial, you're going to be doing a lot of what we call chemically controlled estrus so that we can time the ovulation right at the exact time of the insemination. And if you're doing thoroughbred, you're still going to have to chemically control because you have limited time or limited access to that stallion because he's very, very, very booked.
Now, are there any special considerations when a mare has a foal at her side and you're trying to get her rebred for the next season?
Yeah, that's always a fun one. Those mares will come into heat in what they call the foal heat 7 to 10 days after they foal. The foal may or may not get a loose diarrhea because the milk changes at that time and then their GI tract adjusts a little bit, but they get a little bit of diarrhea. They call it foal heat diarrhea, but not always does every foal do it. So you need to just count on your calendar and then start having your mare checked. Those mares may not show interest in the stallion because they're protecting that baby. So you'll have to adjust your thought process of your mare who is breaking down for the stallion at the breeding shed and doing a great job of being covered may have to be hogtied with her baby in front of her or off to the side so it doesn't get hurt in order to get covered. So there's a different approach, and you need to be aware of that.
Okay. And at what
poor
point?
Thing. Poor thing, hog tying. My God.
We're just trying to protect your baby.
I know. We got a couple more minutes left. So, can I just say the most frustrating thing about pregnancy, and this probably happens to mare owners too. You're like, every single day you go on, you're so excited about your baby coming. You know, your mare is getting bigger, and in the human world, you know, things are hurting and aching, and you're kind of pain in the butt, you know. And Dr. Jones, you have kids, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember anybody saying to you, wow, this pregnancy is going by so fast? I'm like, for who? You?
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
Like my mom is, this is really going by fast. I'm like, you're insane.
I think they knew better than to say that to me because I think I would have eaten them. I think they knew better to say that to me because they knew that I was dreading every moment of lifting. And, yes, I was lifting and working. Yeah. And, you know, I did lameness exams the day before I had my C-section. And my assistant finally had to push me out of the way to do the flexions because she got tired of watching me do the flexions. And I said, fine. But, you know, yeah.
Gotta do what you
gotta do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people are looking for more information about breeding their mares, we have a video called Five Things About Mare Fertility, Five Things You Need to Know About Mare Fertility. You can find that on thehorse.com. Just look for Five Things Mare Fertility or go to our video portal off the top menu. We also have a great foaling and newborn Ask the Vet Live podcast that we did just back in January, and it really great information. Dr. Mary Rose Paradis and Dr. Carlos Gradil, and they had great, great information about the end stages of this whole process when that baby hits the ground.
Well,
yeah,
if you can't...
There's a lot of preparation before getting to that point, so just make sure that you have a good relationship with your veterinarian and have a good communication with them, and they can walk you through the whole thing very well.
And that's the thing is, if you can't find it on thehorse.com, just contact Dr. Jones, floridaequine.com. You're a baby factory for horses, so congratulations. That's what you're known for. It's your passion. It's okay. I know you do. I know you do. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being on. We cannot wait to talk to you next week and see what's up then.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Well, before we wrap it up here today, I just wanted to mention that Really Bad Ads is on. You're here Friday, right? So you'd be back for Really Bad Ads. Oh, yeah. Good.
I will be at least halfway here Friday because it's really early.
We have the coveted Equity Flex and Fork. We're giving away one of those on Friday for really bad ads, which is the one that everybody really wants. It's the one that Jamie and I and Jennifer, we all use the Flex and Fork every day. It's our favorite manure fork, and that will be given away. You can find it at equitymfg.com. And also, the Horse Agility Handbook, a step-by-step guide, introduction to the sport. So if you want to teach your horse to jump through flaming hoops, this is the book for you, the Horse Agility Handbook. We give one of those away, too. So get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Wendy did a good job last week. She was kind of sick on Friday, so she wasn't totally up to snuff, but she did a good job. She was trying to live up to your high standards when it comes to really bad ads, and that's tough to do.
Excuses. Oh, she was sick, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Just she's second best is what it is. Because if I have a skill, it is reading.
And you know what was funny? We did the poop thing on Wednesday with the horse. We had a poop story on Friday, and then every ad seemed to be related to poop somehow. It just was a poopy
really?
Week. It really was. It was
a really crappy week. Awesome.
Yep.
Yay!
This week is better. Not so much poop. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back again on Friday. Don't forget to check out the rest of the shows on Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We'll have a recorded one for you here tomorrow at Horses in the Morning.
Fantastic.
Have a good day, Jane. Hang in there. Hey,
you shouldn't
be riding anymore, by the way. Let's talk about that. You'd say you're getting there at the point where you need to quit now.
Listen, if I just do my jump schools as gymnastics, all I have to do is get him into it, and he gets me out of it. So we're doing fine. We're doing fine. I don't need your help. Everybody else tells me stop. Okay. People do it. You know, it happens. I can't quit riding. Anyway, let's move on. Everybody have a great day. Don't forget spay, neuter, and geld.
See you, everybody. Have a good week. Good day. Week.
Dr. Glenn over here telling me how to run my business.
We care about you. Call your mother.